This is Talk Nation Radio. I'm David Swanson. From February 18th to March 1st of this year, students at the University of Virginia went on a hunger strike, refusing to eat until university employees were paid a living wage. They brought a great deal of attention to workers' struggles through this hunger strike. They built a larger campaign. They won a commitment by the university to finally report on how many people its private contractors employ and what they are paid. And they attracted two large labor organizations, the AFL-CIO and the SEIU, to the university grounds in Charlottesville, Virginia. I spoke with one of the hunger strikers 10 days into the hunger strike. How long has it been since you ate any food?
10 days.
And how many students are involved in this hunger strike?
We're actually at about 19 students striking at this point.
With some workers making as little as $7.50 an hour, raising the lowest pay to $13 an hour would make a world of difference.
Over 20% of Charlottesville's families live below the poverty line. That's a poverty rate that's three times higher than the Virginia average. And the University of Virginia is the largest employer in Charlottesville. And so paying a living wage would have a hugely positive impact on the working poor of Charlottesville.
According to the students, the University of Virginia could take this step if it chose to.
All these constraints we're talking about are nothing but excuses, really. It's really a matter of political will and willpower and wanting to do it because the money's there.
The University of Virginia's president, Teresa Sullivan, rhetorically supports a living wage.
In fact, she published a textbook entitled The Social Organization of Work. And on page 63, her textbook states, being paid a living wage is necessary for self-actualization. And she goes on to describe the psychological and economic benefits of a living wage policy. Unfortunately, she has not been nearly as forthcoming on the issue of a living wage at her own university.
Joining me today is Hunter Link, a recent graduate of the University of Virginia. Hunter, thanks for being on Talk Nation Radio.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
When did you graduate from the university?
I graduated this December.
And what was your field of education?
A program called Global Development Studies. It was interdisciplinary.
And at the time that we are recording this, how long has it been since you ate any food?
10 days.
And how many students are involved in this hunger strike?
We started with 12 students 10 days ago, and since then some have been forced, about six have been forced to stop for health reasons, but even more than that have joined in the last 10 days. So we're actually at about 19 students striking at this point.
And you met recently with the president of the University of Virginia and asked her to implement a living wage policy for employees. What exactly are you asking for?
Our entire demands are available on our website, www.livingwage@uva.org. And our core demands are that the university index the wages of its lowest paid employees to the cost of living and inflation in Charlottesville. Second, that the university enforce contractor parity for the different labor contractors that it contracts with. That is, make sure that people that are hired through private companies are also making a living wage. And the last is we calculate a living wage to be about $13 per hour for the Charlottesville area. So we're asking that the university pay at least that much.
And does that include the cost of health care and other benefits and things, or is that purely in dollars?
So that's, we're asking for $13 an hour and then benefits accumulating on top of that.
So $13 an hour in money
plus benefits. Yeah.
When you say that it should be indexed to the cost of living, I take that to mean that if next year the cost of living goes up, then the lowest wages that can be paid by the university automatically go up.
Is yeah, that's right. Indexing basically just means that there will be yearly adjustments to the wage based on increases in the cost of living in the Charlottesville area.
And tell us about the president of the University of Virginia. Who is she, and what's her position on this issue?
University of Virginia's president is President Teresa Sullivan, and Teresa Sullivan is relatively new to the University of Virginia. She's only been in office here for about 18 months, and she is a labor sociologist. In fact, she published a textbook, co-authored a textbook several years ago entitled The Social Organization of Work. And on page 63 of The Social Organization of Work, her textbook states that being paid a living wage is necessary for self-actualization. And she goes on to describe the psychological and economic benefits of a living wage policy for business. Unfortunately, she has not been nearly as forthcoming on the issue of a living wage at her own university.
So she favors paying a living wage in theory, but your impression is that she does not in reality, or is it that she doesn't have the power to make that decision?
Well, based on past interactions and past meetings I've been in with her, I do believe that she wants to do the right thing by university employees. She has said publicly that she is committed to improving the wages of the lowest paid employees. Of course, never will she use the phrase living wage in any kind of public statement as a president. And that's because, as we learned in the meeting this morning, they talked a lot about, we met with the president this morning, and the president talked a great deal about the political constraints and the economic constraints and the financial constraints on why she can't pay people a living wage. To give her credit, I think that she wants to do the right thing, but I think she feels constrained by a lot of different factors.
Hunter Link, your website, you said, is livingwage@uva.org, and I've looked at some of the material, and you've argued that it would be about 0.25% of the annual budget that would need to be increased in order for the university to bring workers up to that standard. And yet you say that the president just said that there were financial constraints that would make that impossible. It seems 0.25% doesn't seem like much to me.
No, you're right. I mean, there is no. All these constraints we're talking about are nothing but excuses, really. Excuses why they can't do it. It's really a matter of political will and willpower and wanting to do it because the money's there. It doesn't cost that much money. It's totally legal. There's no reason not to do it. Except that they don't want to do it, except that certain people don't want it to happen. So, yeah, we're talking about 0.25% of the annual operating budget to pay a living wage. We're talking about enforcing contractor standards with contracts, which some people under the false impression that's illegal to do that. On the contrary, it is not illegal. On our website, we have multiple legal memos and briefs describing how that process is totally, totally legal. It has been done by other public bodies, such as the city of Charlottesville, yet our own administration will not do it. And there's no good reason why it hasn't happened, except that Teresa Sullivan hasn't found the political will or the courage, really, to take this step forward.
And what sort of a difference would this make to the university's employees? Can you tell me about any of the workers affected by this policy?
Oh, sure. It's so necessary. I mean, there's people working full-time as a direct employee for the University of Virginia, which means they're probably in the best situation of the kind of employees we're talking about, yet even that is not enough money. And then these people have to work at night for a contracted company. So these are people cleaning buildings during the day for UVA for about $10.65 an hour. And then at night...
Is that a full-time job?
That's a full-time job. And then at night, they work for a contractor, for example, for Turner's Cleaners. And Turner's pays only $9 an hour. So you have people working overtime, essentially. And their overtime, they're actually making less money. So if we paid a living wage and enforced contractor standards, this would just make a huge difference in people's lives. People could get out of public housing. People could stop having to go to the food bank. People could stop having to rely on food stamps. Over 20% of Charlottesville's families live below the poverty line. That's a poverty rate that's three times higher than the Virginia average. And paying a living, and the University of Virginia is the largest employer in Charlottesville, and either directly or indirectly. And so paying a living wage would have a hugely positive impact on the working poor of Charlottesville.
It seems that those who oppose this kind of policy from a right-wing direction in our politics often object as well to supporting people on food stamps and with public housing and so forth, and yet argue against compelling an employer like the University of Virginia that sits on literally billions of dollars to pay a teeny bit more to its workers that would allow them to not rely on public welfare.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time grasping it. Is the opposition, do you think, essentially to workers having some kind of a say and students and the community having some kind of a say in what the university does? Is this a question of the university retaining complete power over its decisions?
It's funny, in a recent statement to the Board of Visitors, President Teresa Sullivan, I don't remember the quote exactly, but something along the lines of, this living wage question isn't necessarily about the numbers, it's about who makes the decisions. And
right.
We were shocked when we heard that, because she's absolutely right. Yeah, this is about the people making decisions about the people. I mean, it's about students and employees and concerned faculty making decisions instead of people who are making, you know, almost $1 million a year who, you know, probably have never met any of these employees we're talking about. Instead of them making the decisions, it's about the common good. It's about democracy and about people coming together and saying, you know, we love our community. We want it to be the best place possible. These are the things we've identified that could make this community the best place possible. And it isn't just students. And it isn't just a small handful of students. It's students, it's faculty, it's a wide range of Charlottesville groups, including the Charlottesville City Council, which has unanimously urged the University of Virginia to pay a living wage. I think at one of our last rallies, the former mayor of Charlottesville, Dave Norris, was speaking. The current vice mayor of Charlottesville, Kristen Seiko, spoke. We have support from community groups such as the University and Community Action for Racial Equity, the Dialogue on Race. I mean, I could literally list off all these community groups that have supported the cause of a living wage. And so when the president says it's about who makes the decisions, she's absolutely right. Because we're saying that it should be the community making these decisions. We're saying it needs to be the people who are affected making these decisions, not the people who sit at the top and who don't see the effects of their decisions.
And the website, again, Hunter Link, is livingwage@uva.org, and I assume you have a list there of endorsers and supporters.
Yep.
And you have a fair number of faculty members. How many members of the University of Virginia's faculty support this?
Well, we circulated a petition a couple weeks ago, and about well over 300 University of Virginia faculty all signed the petition to urge the University of Virginia to pay a living wage. And I cannot and have never heard of the last time over 300 university faculty agreed on anything. So it's a pretty clear indication of what the community wants to see.
And so what would happen were President Teresa Sullivan to say tomorrow, you're right, I agree with you, we need to do exactly this? Is it in her power? You mentioned also something called the Board of Visitors.
Mm-hmm.
Is it in their power? Whose decision ultimately is it?
Well, it's a tricky question, and one that is sometimes difficult for us to figure out because they tell us different things. So there's the president, and then there's this group you mentioned, the Board of Visitors. And the Board of Visitors is a group appointed by the governor of Virginia to make budgetary decisions at the University of Virginia. Now, they're called the Board of Visitors. That means they visit. They don't live in Charlotte. These are people from Alexandria. These are people from even outside of Virginia, perhaps. And they have an immense amount of power in deciding where our money goes. And also, the university is fond of pointing the finger, passing the buck up to Richmond, saying, oh, it's the state legislature. They have all the power. We can't do anything without we cannot raise wages without the state's approval, which is false, patently false. the university has demonstrated and has shown that they can raise wages for the lowest paid employees without the state's approval. They've done that. They've raised wages very, very slightly for some people in the last 3 years without approval from the state. So they could do more if they wanted. And they also claim that they can't do anything without the state's approval, that including that extending to contract legality. I'm citing a 2006 attorney general's opinion saying that, well, this attorney general's opinion basically essentially advises UVA not to do it. And they've been hiding behind that, saying, well, so legally we can't. And last time I checked, an opinion was just that, an opinion. And we can go against the attorney general. And if you want any evidence of that, I encourage people to look into the Ken Cuccinelli debate over the environmental science research at UVA, in which a UVA professor refused to capitulate to Cuccinelli's demands that he withdraw his research. And so that's just one example of how the university can and has and will and will continue to go against the attorney general's opinion if we disagree. It's a matter of political will. It's a matter of courage. It's a matter of moral urgency.
Ken Cuccinelli, of course, is the attorney general here in Virginia. Yeah. This is Talk Nation Radio. You're listening to David Swanson with Hunter Link, a recent graduate of the University of Virginia, where students are hunger striking for a living wage. It seems to me that your campaign has been going on for years, during the course of which, in fact, the university has raised wages, but the increasing cost of living over the years has again stripped that raise away in real terms, mm-hmm. so that because they've never indexed it to the cost of living, you've had to come back again in future years and say, we need a living wage again. Yeah. And yet, the tactic that you're employing, you yourself and 20 other students are employing right now of refusing to eat food, seems extreme and drastic to some people, I'm sure. How did you arrive at that decision?
Well, as you said, it's important to note that this campaign has a long history, a long trajectory. We trace our origins back 14 years to when faculty, employees, and students first came together and started demanding a living wage. There's been various iterations of the campaign and various actions undertaken. During the early 2000s, a staff union was formed, and an $8 campaign was sponsored. And $8 an hour was a living wage back then. And they won. They got $8 an hour. But of course, as you said, cost of living, inflation, et cetera, et cetera. And now $8 an hour. You can't pay rent with $8 an hour. Yet some people are still making that or less. And then in 2006, 17 students were arrested during a 4-day sit-in in the president's office, and that resulted in some wage increases, but not a living wage. And over the last 2 years in particular, as President Sullivan has come to UVA, the Living Wage Campaign has done countless marches, demonstrations, petitions, forums, teach-ins, dialogues, discussions. We've met with the president twice last year and various other administrators several times. We sat down, we said, this is the issue, this is why we're concerned. We even wrote and published a comprehensive research document entitled Keeping Our Promises, which is available in its entirety on our website. I mean, we're students. We write papers. So we wrote this 70-page behemoth of a research document on why living wage is necessary, all the arguments for it, and in a very cool and calculated way, analyzed the issue. We submitted that to the president multiple times, the Board of Visitors multiple times, never got any feedback on it. We've talked, we've petitioned, we've rallied, we've done literally everything else that we could think of. And when we realized that just sitting in a room and talking to the president wasn't going to do anything, we realized that we had to take stronger action. And you called this action drastic. I'll admit it's drastic, but that is only an indication of the extent to which the structures and the powers and the administration refuses to take up a matter of moral urgency and the length at which we have to go to convince them and to pressure them to do the right thing. So the drasticness of this action is much more of a reflection on the administration than on the students, I think. And some people have, you know, criticized us for taking steps that were too much. But we say, along with Martin Luther King and a long line of civil rights activists, we say we cannot wait. This has been far too long in the coming. People are suffering now. Meanwhile, UVA's endowment reaches about $5 billion, up 30%, and almost 30% since last year. This is one of the strongest, if not the strongest, endowment for a public university in the nation. And yet, we have to hunger strike in order to get our leaders to pay attention and allocate that money where it's needed. We don't want to be hunger striking. We wish it didn't come to this. I had been hoping and praying it wouldn't come to day 10, but it wasn't until day 10 that our president would even meet with us. So if that's any indication of how slow things go here, then I think that our action, you begin to see our decisions in a much different light.
I wonder, Hunter Link, why the University of Virginia is so recalcitrant when other campuses around the country and even this region have begun living wage campaigns later than the University of Virginia and won them more quickly. I know that at Georgetown University, they had to use a hunger strike, but it was effective. They did win. I wonder if any of those donors who are making the University of Virginia so wealthy will start to feel any shame over the fact that university students have had to resort to a hunger strike.
You know, I would hope so. I would really hope so. I would really hope that the people who are funding this institution will take another look at their values and about the values of the institution that they've helped create. Just talking to Tom Shadyac, a alum of UVA, a movie director, he has founded multiple philanthropic projects, including a homeless shelter in Charlottesville. And he says he is ashamed to be a UVA alum at this moment. He takes no pride in it because of the way that the school is treating its workers and its students, forcing them to go on hunger strike in order to bring justice to our campus. So I hope that any UVA alum listening to this, I would hope that you would take the time to think about the kind of institution that you graduated from, think about the kind of institution that you want to see, and you know, tell people, write the president. The alums and the donors are the people that you know, that really have a lot of power in this. And so we've done our best to reach out. But if you're listening to this and you're a UVA alum, please, let people know. Let people know how you feel. Let people know that it's not right for employees to be paid below living wages. It's not right that students should have to hunger strike in order to make that statement. And it's certainly not right to talk about political constraints when we have some of the highest paid Virginia State employees at our school and some of the lowest paid employees at this in the state of Virginia at our school. We have people working at federal minimum wage, and that's a reality. And
which is how much?
$7.25.
Well, Hunter, speaking as a UVA alumnus myself, I agree and am completely ashamed of the university's position. I think of the university as an advanced, enlightened community with a code of honor, and this seems less than honorable. I wonder if you could put this in a little context for people in terms of why it's been primarily students rather than the workers themselves leading this campaign. This is a right to work state. There are no unions around here. When we began this campaign 15 years ago, you couldn't say the word union in Charlottesville. The president of the United States right now was elected 4 years ago with a campaign that included something called the Employee Free Choice Act that might have made it safer for people to try to form unions. What is the reality for workers at the University of Virginia right now in terms of speaking out or trying to organize?
Well, it is important to note that though this is a student-led effort, that there have been employees involved. In fact, in the meeting this morning with the president, there besides a student, a faculty member, and a lawyer, there was an employee present. Granted, it wasn't one of the lowest wage, most vulnerable employees, but that there have been employees who have seen the events of the last couple of days and have taken the courage to speak out, speak at our rallies, write letters, be interviewed by newspapers. But the vast majority of employees here are not involved for, you know, and a big reason is that people are scared of losing their jobs. I know a woman who was involved with a campaign in the past, maybe like five or six years ago. She spoke at a rally, and then immediately she was called in by her supervisors and really just hassled and given a hard time, and she made sure that she stood up for her rights and that she had the right to be speaking, but it was a trial. It was a trial, and it took a lot of effort to keep her at her job, and eventually she had to quit because it was just way too difficult once the supervisors had picked her out. And she said that her coworkers saw her go through that, and her coworkers said, you know, I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know if I can really afford to go through that. I have kids to feed. I have rent to make. I have things to do. I have a life to and other lives and my family to worry about. And it's risky speaking out. It's risky. And also, if you're working two low-wage jobs, which a lot of people are, you just don't have time. You don't have time or energy to really come out and organize. And, you know, people ask us, well, where are all the employees at your marches? Where are all the employees at your events? And we say they're serving food in the dining hall. They are cleaning the buildings right now. They are mowing the lawn. They are searching around for a parking spot because they have to pay for their own parking. And if they can't afford it, what are they going to do? Or the bus is late. Yeah, maybe the bus is late coming in from somewhere. And a lot of people rely on public transportation, or maybe they're picking up their kid from the child care that they're barely affording. Or maybe they're, helping out a friend who also works at UVA who can't make their quota this week. And so, I mean, it's this climate of fear, sure, and fear and stress. And if people didn't have to work so much, maybe they could start coming out and start realizing that, you know, I have more rights. And people do realize that. Everyone I've talked to, it's just that the people I talk to, I'm talking about it. I'm like, oh, you should come out to this, or you should, let's sit down and talk about this. And they say, oh, well, I have to go to my other job. I have to go, finish plunging this toilet. I have to go because this is my lunch break, and I don't want to be late because I'll get in trouble, and the supervisor will give me a hard time, and then I'll be out in the street, and then, you know, what next? So it's really the students who have the freedom to stand up, and really it's the least we can do for these people who have just made this place a community. I mean, these are the people we see every day. These are the lifeblood who just don't get enough recognition.
Hunter Link of the University of Virginia Living Wage Campaign. The website is livingwage@uva.org. Hunter, thank you for coming on Talk Nation Radio.
Thanks for having me, David.
This has been Talk Nation Radio. I'm David Swanson. Talk Nation Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, engineered by Christiane Brown in Reno, Nevada, and syndicated by Pacifica Network.